None. Zero. Nobody's going to buy it. Now that we have buried you there, that has sealed the ownership. Nobody's buying it. Nobody. Yet. For what? Why did you do that? Because if you don't build a house in the village, you go there once or twice in a year. The place where you work every day, you can't return home and sleep properly. You know, I told you, I was formed by the word of God. One of the things that the word of God formed in me is I don't worry about tomorrow. One day I wanted to pay rent. When we first moved from Transekulu down to Independence Layout, we had to move for, my landlord sold the house. That time, it's not like, you know, Enugu's rent has gone through the roof since that time. I was supposed to pay 300,000 naira a year. This was years ago. Getting close to 10 years now. I suppose, yes, 10 years. Oh, what am I? Yes, about 10 years. Because Akinlu was not yet one. How old is he now? 12. Yes, 11 years ago. Because Akinlu turned one in that house. I remember that new house. I was supposed to pay 300,000 naira a year and pay for 2 years and pay agency fees. It was 660,000 naira to drop at a go. Ha! Even me, I never seen that amount of money until that time put together. But I had to put it together for the landlord and his agent. So my wife was working then. She was still working in the bank, in UBA. So all the money had been moved to, I wasn't in bank with UBA. All the money had been moved to her account in UBA. So when I finished negotiating with the people, and I said, they said they wanted cash. It was a long story, but we had to carry the cash and give to the man because he needed it badly that day. You know, I had a funny landlord, you know. So I had to go give the agent. So when I went to the bank, and my wife wrote a withdrawal slip to take 660,000 naira. Her colleague said, what is that money for? Rent. Ah! Everybody was shouting, why? With that money, you can erect something for yourself. When she told me, I said, inside the bush, Abi, you will erect something for yourself inside the bush. People were making noise. Ah! I remember that when she hurried out quickly to hand the money to me so I could go and give the guy. People were like, hey, you paid that money to a landlord? For what? You know, my own is that my peace of mind is more important than cash. For me, I have never, since I moved to Enugu, I've never lived in a small house. When it was only my wife and I, no children, nothing, we had a 5-bedroom house. God arranged that one. 5 rooms. My brother comes once in a while. My wife's sisters may come once in a while, you know. We had visitors. That was the only thing we did in the house. The time Akinlu was born, we left the house less than a year after. Yet I had 5 bedrooms. I said, when people are plenty, they choke me, you know. I get irritable. And the Bible commands us to be hospitable. So the only way to obey the will of God and still not go mental is to have a big house. I have consistently sought for a big house. Even though I didn't own them. I didn't care what rent was. I will look for the money I will pay. If you say, with that money, you can build something in your village. But boy, they may just bury you in the one you built in your village. When inside the town, you're full of stress. You can't sleep properly. People worry about tomorrow too much. I don't know. For me, every night rest is crucial. I like peace of mind. I like peace of mind. And like I always say, I'm a giver. Somebody say amen. I give to my landlord. Don't mind giving to him. I don't mind giving to him at all. I give to my landlord. How can you give a man that amount of money? He gave me this amount of space. Give, and it shall be given unto you. He has given to me. I have to obey the word of God and give to him. Listen, I'm not explaining something here. Christianity has a culture. It does. Christianity does what? Has a culture. You must learn the culture of Christianity. For example, we talk about generosity all the time. It's part of the culture of Christianity. For example, I like what we do when people are wedding. We all carry gifts. when Jesus was born, you saw those men came bearing gifts. Gifts bearing is a fantastic culture. I know it's godly, it's scriptural. Whether anybody is imposing upon me or not, I will continue to practice it. Babies are born, like Jesus was born, you take gifts to the parents. Somebody's wedding, you take gifts to them. I now carried my own, I learned Christian culture. Christian culture says it is better to give than to receive. So I stopped asking. I made sure I always gave. So if you buy a car, I don't tell you, come and wash it. And I want to teach you as a culture, practice it. A lot of people have heard me teach it, they now practice it and I like it. I learned this many years ago, almost 20 years ago. So you buy a car, I don't care how rich you are. Say, so, wow, you spent money. This car must have set you back how much? You tell me. Whether you know or not, I say, ah, drive into that filling station. Attendant, put fuel. They fill your tank. How much is that? 7,000. I didn't have it in my pocket. I count 7,000 naira for the fellow. That's it. That's my contribution to your promotion. But they come and wash it. To me, it's strange. I buy a car, then I gather you to give you drink. Listen, I have no problem with it because I'm a giver. You get my point? I can do it. God, you know, it's good to celebrate. I thank God. And when you're giving God thanks, yes, you can share drinks with people, but I'll go look the other way around. Say, this man has been set back 2 million naira. No, 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 no. We must do something for him. Once one of my colleagues, he passed an exam, senior to me. He's currently the chairman of our Association of Pathologists. He's the president. He was just a little senior to me those days when we were in Luth. I said, ah, chief, I heard you passed the exam. He said, yes. When the doctors launched that day, I said, you did? I called the lady there, come. A plate of pandan yam and a bottle of malt for him. He has worked hard. I turned to her, paid, and I walked away. Other people say, hey, oh boy, yeah, yeah, drink, drink, drink. You know, they want him to pay because he passed an exam. I said, do you know how much work a man does to pass an exam? Cool his brain for him. You know, if we do like that, people will succeed better. They say, this is my house. I have to finish it. What do I do? Let me go and do something great. They will greet me. You understand my point? You do, yes, that's good Christian culture. And I want everybody to imbibe it. Somebody does something, give him a gift. He buys a car. I mean, it doesn't mean, you don't always judge that it's because he has money. It may be he needs it. But don't even worry about judging how, why. Just make it your culture. He buys a car, fuel it for him. That's what I do. You celebrate with people that have done things. And it's in the scriptures. Rejoice with them that rejoice. Christian culture. I balance it that I say, no, you do anything now, you won't hear from my mouth. Come and wash it. Come and wash it. My new culture is now is I wash it for you. I've done that thing now for almost, but I said it by 18 years ago. That's what I do till today. Christian culture. We cannot stick with this how they do in my place. A brother was talking once. He said in his place, if a man is standing, a woman will get up for him to sit down. I said, you are wicked people in your place. Then I thought about it later. Really, they are not wicked people. It's just bad African, Asian culture. Where women are treated as if they are inferior to men. You know, this girl that got raped by four or five men in India, and got killed. You know, they interviewed, recently there's a problem in India right now, if you've been reading the news, about a week or two ago. There are demonstrations everywhere because a BBC correspondent went and did a documentary and interviewed one of the men. They've been sentenced to death for murder, all right, apart from the one that was under 17, about 17 or 16 years of age, considered a minor. All the other ones were sentenced to death, all right? They interviewed him, one of the men sentenced to death in prison. You know what he said? He said that the fact that she died was her fault. That she should have just relaxed, enjoyed the rape. They would have let her live. That they killed her because she fought. This is a young medical student. They beat that girl so bad, her intestines went gangrenous. India, Nigerians rushed to India for treatment. They flew her to Singapore for treatment. She died in Singapore. The men who, and the correspondent said that what amazed her was that this guy showed no sign of remorse. Why? It was a woman. You know, the culture is so ingrained that they didn't see it as a person that there was being killed. One of them raped a 5-year-old girl. Is it 5 or 10? And he has no remorse. Why? She's an untouchable. That she's a child of a beggar. The guy is in prison. And he has no remorse. You know why he can't have remorse? God forgive me what I'm about to say. God forgive me what I'm about to say. Before I say why I can't have remorse. I think they should hang the guy slowly. Once about to choke to death, they lift it up again. Then release it. Let him choke and transmit it live for the whole of India to watch. So that even if you don't respect human life, you respect your own life. You know what that guy said? It's not that they have condemned death to death. That what will happen is that next other rapists will start killing their victims. So see the problem government has caused. 4 or 5 of you men raped a young girl till she died. He has no... That was the outrage. When people saw the video, they turned on BBC. But the BBC analyst said, you know the problem? That she looked beyond the fellow. And realized this fellow is not the problem. It's just a symptom of a societal sickness. The society is sick. Even the ones that are not raping and killing people, they have a mindset that it's a woman. They were brought up not to value the female sex. So one day my friend said that day, he's a believer, we're just talking, say in their place. If women are seated and there's no seat, and a man walks in, the culture expects a woman to stand up. I don't even know how that one can be, because since I was young, it's Christian culture, because this is Christian culture, this is Christianity. Listen, I laugh at Americans who laugh at Christianity. What do they say? Christianity delivered people. Christianity is the thing that makes this so that when you walk in as a woman, a man stands up for you. You go somewhere with a woman, with a man. Before he sits, he waits for you to sit, holds your chair, you sit down, and then I call it etiquette. You understand my point? And he now looks a gentleman. That's Christian culture. The origin is Christianity. Christianity was what taught them that there is no male and female. You are the same in the eyes of God. Christianity. That book I told you about, the book that shaped your world. How the Bible is the foundation for modern civilization. The man, I've not finished reading it, and I read a bit of it. All right, the man explained some of this, but I knew this since long ago. Christian culture. Listen, you know, when you get to the United States now, all right, most of the Western Europe, they have this Christian culture thing there. That, of course, you can take liberty that God gave you and turn it upside down. The liberty has been turned upside down, we know. But you look at the foundation, because typically in their society, it's not like here where you can easily hire a house help, hire a maid, hire this. Then when you marry, you want a family, you want children, somebody has to stay at home to take care of them. And of course, it's not going to be the man. The natural order of things, that is a woman that takes care of children. She breastfeeds them. She's the one that has the mind to pamper little, you know, babies. You know, she's the one. So naturally, what happens is that the society understands why the woman leaves every other thing and stays with her family. So the man goes out. He becomes successful financially. And then after 10, 15 years, when the children are grown, they're having problems, decide to get a divorce. Their society says, every success you have, sir, is her success also. They take all the assets and share it in half. And the day the divorce is granted, they kick you, the man, out of the house. If you divorce your wife today, police will come and supervise your going out if you don't want to go easily. No, that is the culture. It's so bad now that the women threaten the men with eviction. If you annoy me, I call police. And the police will escort you out of your house. You go to a hotel. It's been abused. In fact, my friend, one of our sisters, she's in the U.S., she told a story when she was doing her nursing program, she trained to be a nurse. You know, she retrained and became a nurse. Now, many of her classmates say that they didn't come here to do any nursing. They came here to get into the medical profession. That once they finish, they start work, they catch one of these surgeons, marry him, and they are settled. Many of our classmates told her, ah, you came here to work. We came to marry one of these surgeons, one of these people. That once we get this job, we get to a nice hospital, we'll go there, we know what to do, we'll catch one of these young boys. They will marry us. After that, marry him for a few years, divorce him, you're settled for life. Just don't remarry. The guy will keep on paying you money. Because the doctors there can be very well paid. So they said, why work when this boy is working? The culture has been abused, I know. But you see, before you get angry at the culture, you must understand where it came from. It was a Christian culture. Just to honor the woman, the Bible says that deal with her with understanding, knowing that she's a weaker gender. Simple. So, if two of you divorce one day, they say you are a man, you are safer on the street. So they, I'm not kidding. They literally push you. No, they don't even need to push you, you know. The day they grant your divorce, you pack your bag, your baggages, and go and visit one of your friends. Hey, Bill, how far? I just said, I'll check how you're doing. All right, can I stay with you tonight? All right, you know, I'll go tomorrow morning. You look for another house, sharp. That gigantic house two of you built together, they kick you out of it. Listen, these women all over the world, they should worship Christ for another reason. That's the second reason to worship Christ. Apart from deliverance from sin. All of us should worship him for deliverance from sin. Amen? Uh-huh. But if you're a woman, worship him for deliverance from these wicked men on your side. Yeah. You know why the Indians do like that? Oh, it's Hinduism. Hinduism entrenches the caste system. You know, I was reading the interview of our president, Goodluck Jonathan, the other day. He said Nigeria is a free society. I never looked at it like that. He said that he has a passion for the poor. He said that he's praying that one day, I didn't even know that. He built, under his administration, they built a lot of Almajiri schools, you know, for these Almajiri children. Built a lot of those schools. He said he's praying that one day, one of the children that went to those schools will stand in his seat today and be president of the country. He said, Nigeria is a free country. He said, that's the background I came from. He said, if I was an Indian, I wouldn't be here today. I want to say, oh God, they don't say it. It's not diplomatically correct. But he has said it. No, just watch the news over the next few days. Indians are going to react. Because that's an insult to their country. But it's the truth about it. Truth can be bitter. He said in India, go and read it. It's in the news. During the book launch. He said, in India, people born the way I was born are condemned to that level for life. You are a poor person, you remain poor forever. To aspire to another level is to make you return during reincarnation as a cockroach. No, really, even the untouched, the low caste people, they are happy with it because they are also Hindus. And they've been taught that if you move away from your level to another level, then next life you'll be a rat. That is why, listen to me. I'm talking about kingdom living. As a Christian, we must cut that umbilical cord. We must cut it, sever it away. The day that man said that, and that my friend said that to me, I said, now what for you? I said, me? If my wife walks in, there's no seat. I first give her my seat. Why somebody will not have mercy on me and say, Pastor, you are standing. Let me find you a seat. But I am seated in a place, I'm sitting. And it's not because I'm a nice person. It's because I'm stronger. I can stand for longer. If we go to the gym, if my wife carries a weight of 10 kg, I have the spiritual responsibility to carry 40. Do you get my point? So if that is the case, why will I not have her stand while I am seated? Somebody say Christian culture. I only know this because of Christianity. The Bible says it, deal with her gently. She's a weaker one. Not spiritually weaker now, but what? Physically. Her flesh, generally speaking, women are designed to be weaker. That is why they don't mix them together in races. All these people are saying that women liberation, women liberation. When they get to Olympics, they don't talk. Because if you say, yes, we're all the same, all this, we're all the same. Olympics will say, no problem. Men and women, join the 100 meters team. You'll find out that the women will never come near the top 100, ever. What they call the best race for a top woman athlete. Her top speed is lower. That's her, you know, her top time is lower than that is inferior to that of the worst of the professional men. That if you are all professionals, if you want her to beat a man, go and get one boy who doesn't know how to run. But once, if they're all Olympic people, the last guy, you know, when the men are running, the last one, in any of those sports that they use, you know, physical strength, the only place they can mix people is, in fact, I don't know, they don't mix people in most sports. Why do you mix them? Why? It's in the system. That's how God created it. The men are generally stronger. So the people recognize that this is a child of God, this is a child of God, and we are stronger. For that reason, we treat them gently. So Western culture, that's what they do, based on Christianity. If there's a crisis, they first rescue women and children. Because the man, look, find your way. No, that's the culture. But listen, it may look simple to you, but do you know it's Christianity? It's Christianity. So listen to me. You must learn the culture of Christianity and cut the umbilical cord and stop telling me in my place is like this. No. 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 There's nothing like that. Whatever it is in our place is the place of the Hittites. Whatever it is in our place is the place of the Amorites. Whatever way it is in our place is the place of the Canaanite. It is not the way of the kingdom. How you spend your money, you must learn to spend your money kingdom way. You must learn to spend your money how? Kingdom way. You must understand what is important in the use of finances. The world must not tell you that. Let's continue reading. It says, as for your birth, on the day you were born, your navel cord or your umbilical cord was not cut. Nor were you washed with water for cleansing. You were not rubbed with salt or even wrapped in cloths. I explained last time, what does it mean to be washed with water for cleansing? I believe every Christian knows that. Cleansing from sin, cleansing from the way of the world, cleansing from the corruption that is in the world through lust. Because corruption is what salt stops. That's what it does. And even wrapped in clothes. I explained to you last time that wrapping in clothes means being taught the right things to do in life. Clothes reflect, they are a type for what we do. The linen, white linen of the saints, the Bible said in Revelations, are the righteous acts of the saints. So being wrapped in clothes, therefore, refers to learning the way of God. David said, come you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. So God was saying, you were not washed. You were still walking in your sin. What is that sin? It's a way by which your people walked, because you are still attached to them. And I said, no eye looked with pity on you to do any of these things for you, to have compassion on you. Rather, you were thrown out into the open field. For you were born on the day you were born. God said, when I passed by you and saw you squirming in your blood, remember you were not washed. Remember that? That's what he said earlier. You were not washed. And I passed by you and saw you squirming in your blood. And remember that blood is a type, like I said, of sin. It was a type of sin. Because he said, even though your sin be as scarlet, the redness of it talks about sin. Because I saw you there, while you were in your blood, I said to you, leave. Yes, I said to you, while you were still a sinner, while you were still in your blood, leave. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. And that's what the scripture is saying here. You find that, look, what we call the Old Testament, that's the law and the prophets. It's just you see the letter, the revelations of Christ, the revelations of Christianity in everything. That's what we're seeing here. I said to you, while you were still in your blood, live. I gave you life while you were still a sinner. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That's what the Lord is saying here. I made you numerous like plants of the field. Then you grew up, became tall, and reached the age for fine ornaments. Your breasts were formed, and your hair had grown, yet you were naked and bare. Then I passed by you and saw you. You were growing up to maturity, yet you did not know the way forward in life. Don't forget, nakedness always means you don't know what is right to do. When you talk about nakedness in the scriptures, it's telling you you don't know what is right to do. So you are exposed to the elementary things of life. Anyone could take advantage of you. That's the meaning of the word, you were naked. Naked talk about being exposed to anybody could just sway you anyway. Why? You do not know what is right to do. Because I said earlier, clothes, all right, refer to acts, works, what we do. That's what it refers to. So when you say you were naked, you didn't understand how to live life. So he said, then I passed by you, and you were the time for love, so I spread my skirt over you and covered your nakedness. I also swore to you and entered into a covenant with you so that you became mine. I bathed you with water, washed off your blood from you, and anointed you with ability. I anointed you with oil. I'm the one that used the word ability here. All right? God gave you grace. God gave you, after washing off your sins, teaching you how to live a normal Christian life, then he placed an ability upon you so that you had the grace to perform things in life. Please follow these things I'm saying. All right? You had the grace. You had the grace. Suddenly you could teach. You could do business. You understand? You could do things in life. What people did not know was inside you before. Suddenly it came out. You became an excellent public speaker. That's what it means to anoint you with oil. All right? I also clothed you with embroidered cloth. Glory. You know, if you read the story of the clothes of Aaron, he said, make it for beauty and for glory, the design. The embroidery, he said, God was saying, I dressed you up, made you admirable, and I put sandals of purple. I'll still look at this later. I'm just rushing now, you know, because of time. And I put sandals of purple skin on your feet and wrapped you with fine silk and covered you with silk. Now, I'm going to rush now so that I will continue from where we stop. I adorned with the ornaments, put bracelets on your hands, and I'm not explaining all of these ones now because we are hurrying. Put bracelets on your hands and necklace around your neck. He said, I put a ring in your nostril, earrings in your ears, and a beautiful crown on your head. Thus you were adorned with gold and silver, prosperity. And your dress was of fine linen, silk, and embroidered cloth. You ate fine flour, all your needs were met, honey and oil. You had even for luxury. So you were exceedingly beautiful and advanced to royalty. Then your fame went among the nations on the account of your beauty, for it was perfect because of my splendor, which I bestowed on you. But you trusted in your beauty and played the harlot because of your fame. Let me stop here. I'll continue from that point. What I want to bring out here is this, and this is the reason why we are doing these teachings, to explain the fact that all these things that God did for this person, which is us, believers, everything that he did had a purpose. And the quarrel he had here, the problem he had with this nation, was when they began to misuse the things that he gave to them. We'll look at it later. It was the misuse that was the problem. It is not the prosperity that he had that was the problem. It was not the prosperity. It was what they began to do with it. That was what the problem was. And that's one thing about life. Many of the things we have in life, that is where the challenge is. That's where the problem is. You know the example I give all the time. Why should a Christian buy an airplane, a private jet? And like I said, it is because he has what? Private money, and is going to private places. And I stand by my answer, even though recently, you know, there was a crisis in the United States. I don't know how many of you heard of it. One of our big brothers there decided he wanted to buy a private jet. And the private jet is costing $65 million. And he was asking people to please send money to contribute to the ministry so that they can buy $65 million plane. In my mind, this brother wants to spoil my gospel. The way I've done this thing now, people say, hey, Pastor Banky, can you see what you are supporting? Did I support that? I didn't know. Obviously, he doesn't have private money. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Yeah, he doesn't have private money. My issue is, if you have what? Private money. And you are going to private places. Obviously, our brother didn't have private money. Alright? So, you see, these things need to be maintained. But like I keep on saying, me, I have no problem with it. If you have the money, why not? Do what you want to do. This is your money. Now, back to what I was saying. The only issue is this, of course, and which I'm talking about it. We Christians, the main thing about what we do is purpose. Owning a private plane is exceedingly expensive. You can hire a normal driver, one. You have a private plane. The drivers of planes are called pilots. I hope you know that. They are highly skilled individuals. They are top of the range professionals. They are very skilled. And when you hire a pilot, you hire an engineer who is a highly skilled individual, top of the range professional. It costs money. Aviation fuel is a lot of money. If you travel abroad once and come back, you spend like 15 million naira fueling your plane. So, all you just do is assess, you know, what you do is assess what this is doing for you as you fulfill the purpose of God for your life. That's what I'm talking about. I don't care. I am not one to say, what is a preacher doing with a private jet? If a preacher is going to private places and he has, between him and his close supporters, they can afford it. I don't begrudge. Some say, the money can help the poor, but the poor won't help you go to where God says you should go to. Are you getting my point? You cannot neglect this. You understand my point? Why fulfilling the other? He said, take hold of one and don't let go of the other. As you are helping the poor fulfill the assignment of God for your life. If it's God, get to heaven and say, God, you know why I couldn't fulfill the assignment you gave for my life? God said, why? I was helping the poor. And God said, go there, go and join the outer darkness with weeping and gnashing of teeth for those who did not fulfill what I said they should do. Don't you think I had enough wisdom to appoint somebody else to do that? I did. You didn't let him do his work. If you had preached what I told you to preach, there would have been 20 people helping the poor. But only you helped the poor, you didn't do your work. So me, I don't like to... Some people can't understand some of this you are saying, okay? Everything has an assignment. You get my point? Everything has its assignment. Every single thing. And you cannot take the money that belongs to one place and use it in another place. But what I'm trying to teach, we'll develop it again next time, is make sure you do what God says you should do. Everything God gave you is so that you can serve him. Do you understand what I'm saying? When he puts clothes on you, like we read here, it was for serving him. When he gives you gold and silver, it is for serving him. I recommended last time, that I really recommend it again. Go and read my book, How to Work for God. Because serving God, I don't mean you are just preaching. Some Christians think it's only about preaching or sponsoring the gospel. The sponsorship of the gospel is important. Preaching, very crucial. It's fundamental to life. All right? When God wanted to equip the saints for the work of ministry, he gave them preachers. So it's fundamental. However, whatever it is that God has given you, note, it is to be used to serve him, not to serve the society. First, you cut off that umbilical cord. If God gives you money and it doesn't indicate you should build a house, please do not build a house to make your father happy. Don't rush to the village to go and build a house. No, really. I'm being honest with you. While you can't sleep properly to do the will of God in the city. This is about purpose. What did I say? It's about purpose. Let me close here. Time has really gone. I just took the extra time because I know I came late, so I just wanted to make sure that I finish some of the things I'm saying today. But I hope you are blessed anyway. All right, the Lord is good. All right, tell your neighbor, cut that cord. Severe that attachment. Cut it off. You are not from that village. You are a citizen of the kingdom. Tell the person, the kingdom has its culture. Let me tell you something. When we get to a particular level in life, you will hardly be able to tell where who came from. We believers will all behave alike. We will all behave alike. You know, I'm a blessed man. You know, I belong to an alumni fellowship, which the daddy Yinka looked at us. He said, you will behave like Ogboni. We are from everywhere. I'm the president. My Amoriteness and Hittiteness is Ondo State. My vice president, her Amoriteness and Hittiteness is Imo State. The secretary, his Amoriteness and Hittiteness is Edo State. Do you understand my point? PRO, his Amoriteness and Hittiteness is Calabada. What's the name of that? Cross River State. We have people from everywhere, but we all have the same behavior. I told one brother, why are you behaving like this? I said, you're behaving like this particular brother. He said, we are from the same tribe. What he meant, of course, naturally speaking, the other brother is from another state. He's from Edo State. And that guy is in UK right now. What he said by tribe is that, you know, we are all local fights. I said, this your behavior is not local. It is a clan within the tribe. The two of you must be in a special clan. I really enjoy fellowshipping with those people because when you get to the midst of us, you really don't know who came from where. Do you understand? Listen, that's where we are going as believers. You get my point? If you believe that, say amen. Let's rise to our feet quickly. Let us close. Let us close. Father, we give you thanks for today in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I bless your people with your blessing and I declare peace be upon you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Listen, that peace heals diseases. Therefore, every affliction in your body, I curse it with that word of God again. Peace be upon you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Therefore, healing is your portion in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, I declare to you, as you go out and come in, the divine protection of God, the protection of God will continually be with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. This week that is coming, great doors will open for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Somebody is leaving a level where he or she used to be and moving to another level this coming week in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now listen to this. Peace upon this country in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Election is next weekend, right?
Yes.
Peace during that election in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
President Jonathan said something. He said, people say, why don't you look ruffled? He said, I'm eager to serve, but I'm not desperate to serve. The spirit of desperation out of this country in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The elections will go smoothly in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And peace is our portion in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Every evildoer will dash you frustration in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We say frustration is your portion in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Quietness and peace is our portion in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father, we give you thanks. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed.
Amen.
Come on, let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus Christ. One more time. This is our season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus. Quickly bless two people beside you. Hold both their hands at the same time. Say, this is your season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, cheer up, brethren.